Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, April 17th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Brooks Henderson. Brooks and his wife Victoria are some of our newest members here at Mountain Brook Baptist, and we're so grateful for them. I look forward to you hearing his testimony and more about his life at the end of the podcast. But first, Brooks will read our daily Bible reading. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Today's scripture reading is Genesis chapter 3, 14 through 24 in the New International Version. Beginning with verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Our second passage today is Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all the creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth.
Thank you so much, Brooks, for joining the podcast and reading so beautifully for us. We want to learn more about you. Tell me where you grew up.
I grew up about a mile and a half from here on Pine Ridge Road, which is very close to St. Luke's Church. Grew up there all my life and now live about a mile from there. So I have not left the nest, so to speak.
How did you meet your wife, Victoria?
We met through a mutual friend. She was living in Atlanta, and our mutual friend set us up on a semi-blind date. And I drove over to Atlanta and took her out to dinner, and the rest is history.
Okay. Was it love at first sight?
No, we took our time being long-distance dating. You know, it wasn't like we could see each other every night or anything. We saw each other about every other weekend and then become every weekend. And so we met in August and got engaged the following June.
As your relationship progressed with Victoria, how did you decide that you wanted to marry her, and how did you pop the question?
Well, like I say, we met in August, and we got engaged in June. Again, it was long distance, but around February or so, we kind of knew that we were the one that, to go the full distance. And so I started scheming how to get engaged, and I told her that I would never say I love you until I was going to put a ring on her. And I just think you just don't throw that phrase out casually. And so in a relationship. So I said there was a fraternity brother getting married. They have an engagement party up at the club, and we need to get dressed up and coat and tie, et cetera. So we took up there on a Saturday afternoon around 6. You know, the sun was setting. We went out on the balcony, you know, getting ready to say the party's probably going to start about 10 minutes. Before it starts, I need to tell you something or ask you something. And I got down on my knee and gave her the ring. And what's funny is she has a different ring size on each of her fourth finger. And she gave me the wrong ring size,
oh, no.
So the ring would fall off. So she put tissue paper around it so it wouldn't fall off that
Aww.
Night. And so that was kind of a funny thing.
Was there really a party that y'all were going to? Or that
no,
was just...
we went in and had dinner and danced at the club that night.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so do you like to dance?
Yes, I do swing dancing with my daughters at weddings and Victoria as well. And we actually took a dance lesson about a month or two ago. We hope to do that more in retirement.
And how did you learn to dance?
I took dance lessons in college and in grad school.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Alabama, Roll Tide. I'm third generation. My daughter's a fourth generation, so
Yay.
We're all in.
All in. After going to Alabama, where'd you go to grad school and what did you study?
I was very fortunate and got accepted to the Harvard Business School. I went there from 1980 to 1982. And there's a real funny story about me up there. Of course, you meet a lot of sharp people, and it's way too cold to live up there, but I enjoyed the experience. But what's really funny story was, end of the first year, my section mates of 90 people, we gave out awards. And you realize 25% of this group is foreign, you know, Japanese or Chinese, can hardly speak any English. And we had an award for the most improved foreign-speaking student, Brooks Henderson. Brooks, we cannot understand your Southern accent when you start talking fast. So you got the most improved foreign student, speaking student. And I would go in restaurants in Boston and just go, hey, how y'all doing? You got any sweet tea? And people would just beg me to keep talking.
They loved it.
They did.
That is really funny. The most improved foreign speaking student.
How I decided to come back from Birmingham versus going to work on Wall Street or something, I was watching the Masters golf tournament up there my second year. You know, I was graduating a month later. I had 3 or 4 interviews lined up in New York the next week, and I was watching the Masters in a foot of snow. And on Monday morning, I canceled every interview, and I told my parents I'm coming home.
Okay, and then you came home, and did you start working immediately at
yes.
the place?
I graduated in June, and I started working in August at Southern Natural Gas Company, or SONAT. And stay there for 40 years.
What are some of the leadership principles or life lessons that you learned in college or in grad school?
I think the main thing is servant leadership. Corporate 500 America gets criticized a lot for CEOs. They're very arrogant and lead the company in ruins with big parachutes. And that's just the best leaders I found will be the servant leadership like Jesus was. And I also found out, even though I'm around a lot of smart people up there that, you know, forget memories, not everybody returns emails promptly. Not everybody returns phone calls promptly or text messages promptly. So I've always encouraged my employers or my children as well that if you'll just return phone calls and emails and texts on a prompt basis, it will be you'll be ahead of most people.
That's a good word for all of us. And now you have 2 beautiful daughters. Share with us about them.
Yeah, Tara's 28, and she's married to Wayne Ingram, who's been an active member of the church. And, of course, his parents are Cecil and Marilyn, so they've been longtime members. And they have a baby 1-year-old girl named Virginia Brooks, kind of a little bit after my name. And so they're doing real well, live in Birmingham and live close by, so we're very blessed to have them so close. My second daughter is Emily. She's in San Antonio. Actually, it was video work for the San Antonio Spurs professional basketball team. And she's single and enjoying the professional sports environment.
Speaking of sports, you're a very tall man. Did you grow up playing a lot of sports?
Yes, I played football from second grade through 12th. And then I played a lot of basketball for fraternity and church league. In fact, I played a lot of basketball over here in this gym, college years and post-college years, particularly with Billy Bates.
And I've seen you recently on the tennis court. Is that a lifelong sport for you?
Yes, I've been playing that since junior high days. And I'm left-handed, so that's an advantage in tennis is being a left-hander. But I enjoy tennis and golf, and I fish a lot.
I learned recently that you are retired, newly retired. Have you enjoyed your retirement, and can you tell us about your career?
Yes, I retired 3 years ago at age 66. I was 40 years with the same company, SONAT, used to be called Southern Natural Gas Company. and became El Paso. Then we got bought out by Kinder Morgan. But we basically transported natural gas and large pipes underneath the ground, and they delivered it to Spire Allegasco, Atlanta Gaslight, which takes it to your house. In the last 20 years, I was in the rates department, you know, setting the rates for our business. So it's very rewarding to recruit in Birmingham. I've worked with a lot of good people in the company. I was very fortunate.
And now in your retirement, what are some fun things that you've enjoyed?
I enjoy pond fishing for bass and brims, kind of my main love of life hobby. I also enjoy playing golf and tennis. And I took 8 years of piano, and I'm actually starting to play the piano some again that I'm retired. And I do a lot more reading of biographies that I never had time to do when I was retired. And plus, we have now the granddaughter, which is a lot of fun.
Do you throw the fish back?
I do. I just like to catch them and let them go.
And can you share with us a book recommendation, maybe a biography?
Well, I'm just finished reading the book on John Adams, our second president of the United States. And he was the one that really wrote up our legislative, judicial, executive triangle power that we have now in Washington. He created all that at age about 40 years old. So very interesting.
You mentioned how wonderful it is to have a grandchild. What is Virginia Brooks like, and how often do you get to see her, and what has been the best thing about being a grandparent?
Virginia Brooks has a real sweet disposition. She smiles a lot. She's just a real sweet baby. Reminds me a lot of my wife, and that she just seems always to be happy. She doesn't cry a lot, and we're so blessed to have them only 10 minutes away. That is such a blessing, and I realize that, and I thank the good Lord every night for that. And we just have been enjoying being grandparents. We usually have her sometimes like on Tuesday and Thursday mornings, like from 8 to 11. Then we bring her over here to the daycare here. And then sometimes on the weekend, if Wayne and Tara have a party or something, we'll have her spend the night. So we're very blessed to see her 2 to 3 times a week on a normal week. And just been a wonderful joy to have them so close.
Let's do a few fun get to know yous. What is your favorite food?
Probably barbecue chicken.
What is your best memory from childhood?
We have a farm in Greenville, Alabama, my dad had, and we would go down there every other weekend when he wasn't on call. He was a surgeon, and we would ride horses and fish and hunt and catch frogs and do all kind of boy stuff, and those are some great times.
And here's another weird one. Did you break any bones growing up?
I actually broke my right thumb in football. More of that, though, I was in a football game, and I was rushing the quarterback, and this little halfback hit me underneath the chin, and I pulled my mouthpiece out, and my two front teeth were in it. I went to the sidelines, and I wasn't in any kind of pain, so I went back in and played the rest of the game.
No, you did not.
So that was my football injury claim to fame.
Now let's transition into talking more about your life of faith. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like with the Lord?
I grew up being a pretty good little boy, good grades, short hair, played sports, you know, ran with the right group. But I didn't really thought if you could get into heaven, you just had to be good. And in high school young life, I think it's called Stampede now, but it was high school young life back in the 70s. Our leader gave a talk saying, you can be as good as you can be, but that's not good enough. You got to have Jesus accepted in your life and claim as your Lord and Savior. And so really it was more of an educational thing for me. It wasn't like I had a big Saul to Paul conversion. I just went home that night and asked Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior, who I already knew a lot about through Sunday school. But so it was very much a ease into the just being knowledgeable what to do to become a Christian. And of course, once I became a Christian, I became even more deliberate on reading the Bible, having daily quiet time. I'm really big on scripture memory. I think I encourage everyone to at least have 4 or 5 memory verses that you can pop up, just like Jesus did in the desert. Like, well, probably my favorite one is John 14:1, the night before Jesus died. You know, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust in Jesus. So we all have troubled hearts over different things, but that's the passage I can always go to and have a peace of mind about.
I want to hear more about this, how you decided which verses to memorize and how you gained a heart or a love for memorization.
Yes, when I do my daily quiet time, if I read a verse that just speaks to my heart, I've actually, this is some 30 years ago now, but I actually developed 31 index cards with 31 verses by doing that procedure. I now have in my car that I flip them over every day, the day of the week, and they're about crumbled up and faded. My youngest daughter wants to frame them when I die and put it up on the wall because I've had them, I don't know, since I was 25, 26. I'm 69 now, so I know those pretty 30 pretty good, but then I have some new ones I like that as I read my quiet time.
Can you tell me what today's is on the 17th?
Yes, it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your paths.
So do you begin your day with this, or when you're in your car only, or what times of the day do you remember it?
When I get in my car, I look at the index card and pull it out and flip over to the next one.
And then pretty much every day you drive, right?
Every day I drive.
That is a wonderful habit. And I would love to see a picture of that if we could post that on Instagram.
I would also encourage people that you need a daily quiet time where you read the Bible and you take notes that things speak to you. Because the Bible is amazing. You can read the same psalm or whatever 10 times and get some nugget of gold nugget out of it every time.
Have you developed a process over the years on what you read and how long you spend with the Lord? And do you write down prayers? What is your process like?
My process, I usually read a little bit of the Old Testament and then a little bit of the New Testament at my daily quiet time. And usually I read the four Gospels a lot, over and over and over, and then Acts and Romans, and sometimes all the way through, you know, throughout the year. And then the Old Testament I maybe read one time through or whatever, and keep coming back to Genesis, which is so loaded. But I do try to read a little bit of the Old Testament and the New Testament.
How did you get connected here at Mountain Brook Baptist?
Through the pull of family. You know, my daughter, Tara, and her husband, Wayne, were members here. And then they had little baby Virginia Brooks.
She's
and
beautiful.
That sealed the deal for my wife and I. And we had been hoping, thinking in our retirement years, or my retirement years, to go back to a church that had traditional organ and piano music, which moves our hearts more than contemporary. I don't mind contemporary. In fact, I listen to contemporary in my car. But I think I just feel closer to God with organ music and piano music and a choir. And of course, Kelly does a wonderful job with the choir. It's outstanding. And Wayne and Mary are so Christ-centered in all their sermons and dialogues and speeches that really is, of course, the key is keep Christ-centered.
What has surprised you or encouraged you in your new membership?
The quality of the music is above 10 out of 10. I grew up in Highlands Methodist Church with Amos Hudson, who was very much same type of person. And I grew up with just tremendous choir, opera singers. I mean, I felt like I was in the symphony every church. And this church is just way above the normal. Even a full choir is just outstanding.
Do you have a favorite hymn?
I have a lot of favorite hymns. I guess the one I lean on the most is the one, Trust and Obey, because a lot of people ask me, what is it like to be a Christian? What do you do? I said, look, it's pretty simple. Trust and obey. There's no other way.
To be happy in Jesus.
To be happy in Jesus. And then Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey me. So it's very clear that's how you love Jesus, is you obeying.
Brooks, thank you so much for joining the podcast. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you more. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. God and Jesus, thank you this day. Thank you for our many blessings, Lord. We know everything we have comes from you, not on our own, that our hairs on our head are numbered, and you are in control. Help us to grow daily in your word, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. For it's in Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen.